Sewer Ninjas is dedicated to solving your home sewer issues with the latest no-dig sewer repair technology to minimize cost and disruption. They can repair your sewer lateral line with minimal intrusion, saving you thousands. When you need help, turn to the drain and sewer experts for Milwaukee and the surrounding communities. Give Sewer Ninjas a call, 414-250-8605. Once again, that's 414-250-8605. Find out more at sewerninjas.com.
The Packers get ready for a Monday night tilt against the New York Giants. The Bucks, something's not right. We bring in our insider, Big J. Jason Volkoff will join us on this episode, as well as a ton of things happening in the world of college athletics here in the 414 and the state of Wisconsin in general. We get to it all on this episode of the 414 Sports Podcast, presented by Sewer Ninjas. Here we go. But instead, it's the 414 Sports Podcast, and it starts right now. 414 Sports Podcast presented by Sewer Ninjas. I'm Don Wachilis. Thank you so much for logging in and joining us wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's Spotify, Google, Apple. Glad to have you on board for this episode. Our thanks, as always, to Sewer Ninjas for being our presenting sponsor. Go to sewerninjas.com to get all the information that you need. As I noted in the opening, we got a ton to get to. We have a Packer Giant game taking place this evening over in the Meadowlands on Monday Night Football. The Bucks have hit this weird part of the season. I know a lot of times we don't think the NBA really kicks off until Christmas, and yet this in-season tournament drew a lot of eyes that the NBA normally wouldn't get until, again, those Christmas Day games. And yet, as we look at the Bucks, something's not right. So we'll bring in our NBA insider, Big J, Jason Volkoff, will join us to talk about the Bucks, talk about the tournament, and kind of get his impressions as to where the Bucks are standing currently. And then we'll close things out today talking about college athletics here in the state of Wisconsin. There's a lot to be proud of here, not only in the 414, but the state in general with things that are going on. So we'll get to those headlines and celebrate some of those accomplishments before we close things out today. But let's get to the fact that the Packers are taking on the Giants tonight on Monday Night Football, a 7:15 kickoff, again from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. You've got two teams that have, over recent weeks, experienced a little bit of success. The Packers come in to tonight's game 6-6. The Giants, they're 4-8. It's been a bit of a disappointing season for the Giants, considering the expectations that were upon them before the 23-24 season began. But they are winners of two straight, and they've done it with the third string rookie quarterback Tommy DeVito, who has become a bit of a folk hero in East Rutherford. And so it'll be a strong test tonight for the Packers, even though the record of the Giants isn't necessarily one that strikes you and puts any sort of fear in you going into the game. But there are a couple of things that need to be noted by Packer fans as we get ready for tonight's game. And number one is the fact that the Giants are coming off a bye. And coming off of a bye, obviously, you're rested, you've been able to heal some injuries, but you've also had extra time to prepare for this game. And for a team with the record that they currently have, maybe if you were the Kansas City Chiefs, you might not be so concerned. Maybe if you were the Miami Dolphins, you might not be so concerned. But when you're 4-8 and you're trying to right the ship, you're spending extra time week by week trying to game plan and keep that momentum going. So having that bye week and having extra time to prepare for the Green Bay Packers is going to be something of note as this game gets underway. Secondly, the one thing the Packers defensively has struggled mightily with this year has been the run game. And Saquon Barkley can do some damage. So if the Packers can get to Saquon Barkley and limit his yards, don't want to see Saquon in the second and third levels, play after play after play. If they can limit Saquon Barkley's success, force the ball into the hands of their third string quarterback, Tommy DeVito, and force him to make plays, then I think we've got a recipe for success and a Packer team that then could go above 500, winning four in a row. We've talked about this in previous episodes in the fact that the Packers are in this stretch, this particular stretch of their schedule, making their way towards the end of the regular season, is highly favorable for them. The only game that I would put a question mark next to, and it's only because we tend to struggle against this team, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. Even though the Minnesota Vikings have seemed to simmer a little bit, that the shine has been rubbed off the purple helmets and they've come back down to earth a little bit, as well as the Detroit Lions, but that Viking game is the only one that I really have a question mark. When you look at the Bears or the Carolina Panthers, these are not teams that put fear into you. And I think they are teams that, as they sit right now, the Packers should be able to take advantage of and get the win. But it all starts tonight against the Giants. And it all starts for us with Jordan Love. Now, Jordan Love, in his first nine games of the season, was averaging just over 223 yards per game. He had 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And as we know, the first nine games for Green Bay, the Packers were sitting with a 3-6 record. And then somewhere around that San Diego game, especially the Lions game on Thanksgiving, Matt LaFleur, at least in many people's opinions and in many people's eyes, took the guardrails off of the playbook and just let Jordan Love go. And why not? You're at 3-6. What do you got to lose? You're already, at that point, three games below 500. You're not trying to protect this young quarterback as far as a one-loss record, as far as getting to the playoffs. You were three games below 500. Now, from a protective standpoint, I do understand Matt LaFleur trying to be protective, trying to, you know, like a father protecting their child, so to speak, not putting Jordan Love in situations where he would fail, ruin confidence, and all of the things that go along with that, especially even injury. But since he's taken, as I like to call it, the guardrails off of the playbook, Jordan Love is now averaging over 285 yards passing per game. But the most important statistic is the fact that he's got eight touchdowns and no interceptions. And that, to me, has been the difference. He's always had this calmness about him when he plays. He's always had this confidence about him when he plays. But now we're starting to see that confidence take another step in that he's making plays, he's gaining confidence from making those plays, and that hesitation, that should I throw it, shouldn't I throw it, just letting it go, as we saw with Romeo Doubs going in between a bunch of defenders against Kansas City and coming down with it, just let it go, let your guys go make plays, seemingly has been one of the big differences. Unfortunately, Christian Watson will not be playing this evening because of that hamstring injury. And I hope that another week off, the hamstring thing with Christian Watson is going to be something that will ail him for the remainder of the season. It's one of those muscle, soft tissue injuries that you just can't do anything about, because once they get injured and you need his production on the field, you run the risk of him tweaking it the way he did against Kansas City. So hopefully another week off, hopefully more treatment, and before you know it, we'll get Christian Watson back on the field. And what we need to do is make sure we get Christian Watson to the end of the season with some relative health so that he can rehab and heal during the offseason and get him back to full strength once we make our way to next September, and get ourselves rolling into a brand new season. But hopefully, again, Christian will be able to heal up, and we'll get to see him in another week or two. One final note and one final question mark regarding the Green Bay Packers, and I'll say it again like I did in the last episode, and that's Jaire Alexander. I have more questions than answers. I don't think it's necessarily one of these situations where Jaire got, you know, the wheelbarrow full of money and now has decided he doesn't want to play. There's something else going on, and the Packers don't want to divulge it, and Jaire doesn't want to divulge it, and for whatever reason, it's created this mystery in and around the fact that he practices but doesn't play, and why that is, because he is obviously one of the best cornerbacks in all of the NFL, and having him on the field would make a huge difference. But why the Packers are not putting him out there on Sunday, or in this case, Monday night, that's something that hopefully in a few weeks we'll get to the bottom of, and that we'll get some clarity with regards to that. So once again, we've got Packers, Giants, 7:15 on ABC from MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey, a Monday night affair, and let's hope that the Packers will then exit New Jersey with a four-game winning streak. We'll recap everything. We'll do a special episode on Tuesday of the 414 Sports Podcast, recapping what took place with the game this evening. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a sec. When we come back, we'll bring in Big J, Jason Volkoff. We'll talk Bucks. We'll talk the NBA tournament that just wrapped up with the Lakers winning that, and some of the question marks regarding the Bucks and their coach, and we'll get to it in just a sec.
Sewer Ninjas is dedicated to solving your home sewer issues with the latest no-dig sewer repair technology to minimize cost and disruption. They can repair your sewer lateral line with minimal intrusion, saving you thousands. When you need help, turn to the drain and sewer experts for Milwaukee and the surrounding communities. Give Sewer Ninjas a call, 414-250-8605. Once again, that's 414-250-8605. Find out more at sewerninjas.com.
All right, let's welcome in our NBA insider, Big J, Jason Volkoff, now joining us. So, Jay, we've gotten through
that's
now.
That's the intro? That's the intro you're going with? You can't give me any more riz, dear. As the kids like to say?
Go ahead. Why don't you expound?
No, you're the host.
Well,
riz, that's Webster's Dictionary Word of the Year this year. So, okay, you know what? I don't need to make you hip. Go ahead.
Let's get into some hoops. All right. Yeah. So the Bucks, you know, finish up a game short of playing in the in-season tournament. We saw Tyrese Halliburton, I guess, have his coming out party. I'm so tired of Milwaukee being people's coming out parties.
Well, just the state of Wisconsin, it just seems like, hey, you know, so-and-so had a career day against fill-in-blank team from Wisconsin.
Right. I mean, anytime it comes to basketball, I think, you know, Ja Morant against Marquette and his coming out party to the nation, and now we see Tyrese Halliburton with the Bucks. But nonetheless, they got to the semis. They didn't make it all the way through. It's a strange time right now for the Bucks. We're seeing some things occur with regards to the coach, and I'm starting to feel like where there's smoke, there's fire. What's your thoughts on everything?
Yeah, I think in cases like this, you really have to go with your gut. You can tell by the comments that guys like Bobby Portis and Giannis is such a stand-up guy. I feel like he came out the other day and he started to say the kind of same things that Bobby was saying about needing direction at the end of those games. And I think we just take these guys for granted and thinking that while they're, you know, multi-million dollar athletes and they're MVPs and they're all of that stuff, they still want and need direction. Giannis clearly is not a guy to call the guys together in the center of the court and say, hey, this is what we're running. or Dame or any of those. And we've never had a guy like that. We've never had a Jordan type of character that's willing to say, hey, you know what? Come on, guys, get together. And I'm sorry, Griff has got that look on those sidelines where he sometimes looks like he is literally a deer in headlights, you know? And it's fitting because it's – and I just have to say that I think there were – I think he went through 13 or 14 head coach interviews before the Bucks landed on him. So I just wonder if he's just not the guy.
It's a growing process, and I think patience needs to be involved. However, the strife that we're seeing from within – the Bobby Portis incident. Even as much as Coach Bud would drive you nuts sometimes with the way things would transpire down the final minutes of a game, you never heard anything like what we're hearing early on in this Bucs season. And again, I'm not ready to run people out the door. I'm not in this, you know, all of a sudden we have to fire people. The immediacy of not allowing somebody to have some time to grow into the position, but there's just something, Jay, uneasy about all of this.
I agree. There's something, again, and it all started with Terry Stotts just quitting. And there clearly is, it doesn't pass the eye test. And when, again, when the players, there was a game last week where Dame was looking at the bench with his hands up, extolling the bench, what are we doing here? We had the Bobby Portis thing, we had the Giannis thing. So those are all guys that are mouthpieces of the team, so to speak. So if it's bubbled up this far to the surface, there's something there. Now, I hate to say winning cures all evils, but it doesn't, because look at what happened against Indiana,
right?
Against the Pacers, again, we had a team that in the final minutes, it was, what are we doing here? Right. And as great as Dame is, as great as Giannis is, when you're coming down to those final minutes, okay, a lot of people out there, detractors of the NBA, say, well, they don't play until the last 5 minutes. Okay, well, if that is indeed the case, then they need to start coaching these guys up, because you look at very successful coaches out there that have had long careers, and that's what they're known for.
It's strange in the fact that the last few minutes of games have been a telltale sign right now for Milwaukee, in that, yeah, they're winning some, but there are some of these games, Jay, where I don't feel like they should be as close as they are down the stretch. It's too tight, where we should have games where Dame can take a night off, Giannis can take a night off. We should be blowing some of these teams out, and it's not happening yet.
Agreed. So there's a stat, and for all the listeners out there, it's the stat is called clutch, and what that measures is games that, when it comes to the last 5 minutes, is the point total between the two teams within 5 points. So they call that clutch. Now, in the last 10 games, the Bucks have played eight games where those were considered clutch games. And in those clutch games, they're 5-3. Now, I remember years where Giannis was resting the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So those are things that you just can't sweep under the carpet and just say, well, it is what it is. You know, yes, wins are wins, and there's no column in there for, there are now. There are no columns for big wins and not big wins. But in those eight games, the Bucks are 5-3. And they've played in those 10 games 35 minutes of clutch minutes. So that's the highest in the league. Now, with a team that's got a big three, and I'm actually starting to say the big three is the third is Brooke Lopez. It's not Chris Middleton anymore. We're 20 games in. You know, you and I were saying at the beginning, okay, Terry Stotts, left, whatever happened. Okay, 10 games in. You know, it's very shaky ground for a team that's supposed to be contending. Not contending, is supposed to be there on the last day, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, they are the potential Eastern Conference pick to go to the NBA Finals, and right now they're just not looking like it. And to go back to what you said about Chris Middleton, Chris looks lost. Like,
he does.
With the new system, with the insurgence of Dame into the lineup, when he's on the floor, there's no rhythm anymore to his game. And we all know that Chris had a tendency to take what I would call nights off, and that, not necessarily nights off in that his shooting would be off and it would go cold. And that was going to be the welcome addition of a Dame Lillard to add to that perimeter shooting when somebody like Drew was going to be off. But since the start of this season, it's looking uncomfortable for Drew when he's on the floor. There's no fit as of yet.
You mean Chris?
Yes.
You said Drew.
I said Drew. Maybe, yep. I'm trying to get him back.
Here's the thing. What it looks like to me is it looks like it's 3 + 1 + 1 on 5. And what I mean by that is it's Dame and Giannis and Brooke doing their thing. And then Middleton when he's out there, because I'm still not sure about this minutes restriction thing. Yeah. And then whoever that fifth starter is, which they still haven't figured out. Now, I always kind of say it seems to be with the Bucks, there's like, it's good news, bad news things. You know, the good news is guys like Malik Beasley are really stepping up, right? He's got that dog in him, like PJ Tucker used to talk about, and campaign playing great minutes, Bobby Portis, some great minutes, but you've got to lay that foundation where it's like a roller coaster where you get the starting five gets everything to the top and then it goes down. And now we're up by 20 and Giannis can go sit out. And it's just, they don't have that chemistry. They don't. And again, you know, it's right. I mean, the Bucks are, you know, they're 15-7. You know, there's a lot of teams that would love to be in that position, but again, you know, what's expected of the greats isn't to be 5-7. And I watched Boston last night or the other night against New York. Again, two playoff teams, the Bucks, if they keep playing the way they're playing, they're not going to be able to compete. They've got to make some changes.
It's a long road yet, but to your point that you said earlier, now we're heading into that 20 game portion of the season. And pretty soon we're going to be looking back and we're going to be halfway through the season or three quarters through the season. And we can't just keep pushing it off thinking that over time things will take care of itself. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the play-in tournament itself. I thought I got accustomed to it as time went on. I kind of grew to like it as it made its way through into the, you know, the semis and the finals out in Vegas. But the one thing, Jay, I did not understand. Well, two things. One, I thought the court was way too much.
Guess what? It's going to be you. And even a lot of NBA players didn't get a lot of stuff about this.
Yeah, the court was way too much. It was almost a distraction.
It looked like a pinball machine, didn't it?
Oh my gosh, it was way too much. But secondly, how do you put a semifinal game locally at what, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, which was like 1 o'clock Vegas time?
Right.
It made no sense to me whatsoever that you had built all this momentum, but then we'll take one of the semifinal games out of prime time and put it smack dab in the late afternoon. That to me, from a marketing sense by the NBA, just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it really had you, me, everybody scratching their heads. Was that because of Monday Night Football? Like,
that's the only thing I could think of, is that they wanted to get those games in before trying to split the audience between, you know, the play-in tournament.
Yeah, okay, so you've got do you want to have a split audience in prime time, or do you want to have
no audience,
right? right at 4 p.m. You know, there's not a lot of people that have the luxury to be able to watch a Yeah, and you're exactly right. And the thing that I guess that I don't understand now, I will say that they got. So I would have liked to seen them do if Thursday was going to be problematic, and you hit that right on the head. If Thursday was going to be problematic, then you should have done a Thursday Friday thing with Saturday. And I know that they wanted people to have equal rest. Big deal. Guys play back-to-back games all the time. Now, could you imagine a run-up of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? That would have been phenomenal. But you're entirely right. I mean, it was how many people outside of Milwaukee and Indianapolis were watching that Bucks-Pacers game?
Well, and that's it. I mean, you can have all the rest you want, but we're still talking about a play-in tournament. Like if our argument was going to be it was part of the NBA finals, okay, I can right. understand equal rest and everything, but come on, it's a play-in tournament. We're test marketing this to see if it's something that will be relevant for the future. And I thought for as well as they kind of push this thing throughout the regular season, or at least to this point of the regular season, in order to have a little more interest before we get to Christmas, to do what they did as part of the semifinal, I just thought it was a huge blunder.
I agree wholeheartedly. And it was funny though. So what you said about them making it as advertised was, If you were like me, I had friends who were really mad at the Bucks lost that game against the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, people were starting to invest. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Right, and I did say, hold on, they lose this game, it's still just a regular season game.
Right, right.
But there is that certain level of, yeah, we want to win this. We're winners. We want to win. And you're 100% right. You know, if they would have had a run, because again, guys in the NBA play back to backs all the time. If they would have done again, or even if they would have done, I know the NBA doesn't like to play on Sunday afternoons anymore. But if they would have done a Thursday, Friday, Sunday, to stick again and all across the sports talk landscape, nobody could give an answer as to why they were playing. And think about what time that was out in Vegas then, 2:00. Did you see the people on the telecast at the Jameson truck at 2:00 PM?
Listen,
come on.
There's a reason why the lights were off in the stands and all the spotlights were on the court, because I think the arena wasn't what it was supposed to be for that Bucks Indiana game, because it was just too early. Too many people rubbing the eyelids and first rolling out of bed at 2:00 in the afternoon in Vegas than to think about coming to an NBA game. All right, Jay.
But you didn't like the floors.
The floor to me was just too much. Yeah. I get the idea, excuse me, of adding something, but the floor was just too much. It was too much of a distractor to me. That had more of a European look to it.
Well, that's what they're going for.
Which is crazy to me because the NBA has resisted the Euro style of basketball for so long that now they're starting to accept it more and more, which inevitably, I guess, will be fine. But right. I just found it ironic for all this time that, you know, we've pushed away widening the lanes or making it look more international to now incorporate that into this midseason tournament.
Welcome to Adam Silver's NBA. It's not your David Stern's NBA. It's a lot different. You know, the thing I liked about the floors was it gave the teams the first floor I saw was the Bucks floor, and it was just that cream and green, and I thought, okay, well, that's weird. But the Bucks have enough alternate floors that I was kind of thinking, well, why are they doing that? Then I started to see some of the other floors, and I thought there was something wrong with my television. I agree with you. It was the only thing about it, though, is once again, the casual fan in a bar sees that and they go, whoa, what is that? Right? They go, oh, my God, what's going on up there?
And that's exactly who they were trying to capture.
Yeah. And so they indeed did it. Again, Lakers win. No surprise there. LeBron James, the MVP of the entire play-in tournament. And, you know, each guy gets $500,000. Now, there's a couple guys on that Laker team that they're on a 1 year deal for $1 million for the year, so they got a 50% raise. So good on them. Now,
yeah, absolutely.
They're probably going to Jacob the Jeweler tonight or tomorrow, or Spearmint Rhino.
Little bling to end their Vegas stay.
Right.
Little bling. All right, Jay. Thanks as much as always for jumping on and joining us. Appreciate the knowledge, and we'll talk to you next week, and we'll see if this Bucks team can get any better.
All right, Bucks and six. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. After we take a quick break, we're going to talk some college sports, and we'll do that in just a second. All right, let's wrap it up for this edition of the 414 Sports Podcast presented by Sewer Ninjas. My thanks again, as always, for logging in and joining us. But let's cover some college athletics in the 414 and the state of Wisconsin. And we start with the women's volleyball team over in Madison. The Wisconsin Badgers are Final Four bound after beating the Oregon Ducks 3-1 on Saturday night. It's the fourth time in five seasons that the Badgers have gone to the Final Four with regards to volleyball on the women's side of things. So congratulations to head coach Kelly Sheffield and what he's done at Wisconsin and getting that program to where it is, because it's on the verge, if not already there, of being a dynasty on the women's volleyball side of things. So again, congratulations. It's fun to watch. It was thrilling to watch their win over Oregon. I can't wait to sit down and see what happens when they make their way down to Tampa and the Final Four. So good luck to them. Marquette with a nice win on Saturday night. They take down the Fighting Irish 78-59. Now I want to backtrack 1 week. December 2nd, I think, is going to be the line in the sand for two teams, two Division I teams here in the state of Wisconsin, and that being Marquette and the University of Wisconsin. Wisconsin gets the win. Now, both teams had this really crazy week of basketball, a really tough three-game stretch. And I know we talked about it, especially on the Journey House College Sports Show on Saturday mornings on 97.3 The Game, where we were just hoping, like, don't go 0-4. If you're Wisconsin, don't go 0-4. At least get a win somewhere in that week. And for the Badgers to come away with a 2-1 record within that week is outstanding. You beat Marquette, you beat Michigan State on the road, and then you fell to Arizona. We're going to get to that one in just a second. And then Marquette, conversely, loses to Wisconsin, takes Texas to the woodshed, and then does the same to Notre Dame. So here's why I think it's a huge line in the sand for Wisconsin. Beating Marquette seemingly gave them that added push, that confidence that they needed. Now, listen, they ran into a buzzsaw. As I said, we're going to talk about Arizona in a minute. Arizona is just in a different stratosphere, at least as it stands right now in the month of December. But the fact that they beat Marquette at home and then went to Michigan State and got a tough road win, I think says a lot about what this program has and the potential for the Wisconsin Badgers. Marquette losing to Wisconsin, I think, in essence, was almost like a wake-up call. They've been playing extremely well, right? You take down UCLA, you take down Kansas, you take Purdue down to the final seconds of that game. You got a lot of confidence, a lot of swag. And then Wisconsin kind of brought you back down to earth a little bit. And since that loss, this team has been playing like a team possessed. Like, they have taken it to another level here in the last week. And again, I think this all goes back to that December 2nd game. And we're going to see how things play out. Obviously, a ton of basketball ahead for both programs. But I think both programs could use that December 2nd as kind of the line in the proverbial sand as far as both of them propelling themselves to new heights and success once we get into March and we start looking at all those quad one and quad two victories that are needed in order to get into the NCAA tournament. That, to me, is just going to be
an important one. As we said, Wisconsin falls to Arizona 98-73. You had a couple of guys in double figures. John Blackwell led the scoring attack. He had 17. A.J. Storr with 10. Stephen Krall with 11. Those three in double figures. It was a game in which the Badgers were, I hate to use this term, but somewhat relevant for the first 10 to 12 minutes. And then suddenly Arizona found another gear, and that was it. And that's the fear you have to have in playing a team like Arizona. If Arizona can stay healthy and maintain the way they are going right now, and the fact that you have the potential to grow and get better as the season goes, that's a scary group down in Tucson. So, again, you get Marquette, you get Wisconsin in a very daunting week, both going 2-1 now as they head into a little bit of a different slate of teams making their way towards the holidays and then, boom, back into conference play once we get on the other side of Christmas. One more game to highlight over the weekend, and that was the Panthers. UWM with an 81-79 victory on the road out in California against UC Davis. Now, I highlight this game because the game on Saturday and the game that took place last year at the Clatchy Center were both thrillers. Both came down to the wire. It was, in essence, a prayer of a three last year for the Panthers that got them the win. This one, again, 81-79, came down to the final seconds. The Aggies of UC Davis got a final shot off with a chance to win, and it came close, but it was a nail-biter. And for whatever reason, these two teams, it's one of those where you always hear the announcer say, throw out the record, because when these two teams step on the floor, whether it's here in Milwaukee or out there in California, they match up just so well. Whether it's the players, the coaching styles, whatever it is, they just match up very well and give you a thrilling basketball game. And we got that again on Saturday. As I said, the Panthers coming away with the 81-79 victory. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us here on the 414 Sports Podcast. As always, thank you so much for logging in and joining us. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Thanks to Big J, Jason Volkoff, for joining us on this episode. Enjoy the Packer game tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll put out a special post-game podcast with regards to the matchup tonight between the Packers and the Giants. Until we meet again, have yourself a great week. I'm Don Wachilis. Take care.